Hi, and welcome to Cyber AI with Alan Silberberg. That's me. The podcast where we explore the intersection of cybersecurity, artificial intelligence, and digital reputation. I am Alan Silberberg, the CEO of DigiJax Group. Today, we're diving into something that should be on the radar of every business leader, security professional, and technologist. The deadly combination of synthetic identities, hacked materials, and the game-changing power of quantum computing all combined together. So, synthetic identities, quantum threats, and the new age of social engineering. What is a synthetic identity? Why it matters to you, to your business? So let's just start with the basics. A synthetic identity is a completely fabricated persona that mixes real and fake data, like a real social security number combined with a fake name and a birth date. These aren't stolen identities, these are invented ones, and that makes them harder to detect, or it could be a real person's identity completely, their name, their social security number, their birth date, but with an artificial agent using all the information as opposed to a human being trying to do the identity theft. So this isn't necessarily stolen identities. Sometimes they're invented ones. Sometimes they are patched together pieces of identities that then become stolen identities through the use of them. But what's really dangerous? These are ghost identities. They can be used to open bank accounts, apply for credit, infiltrate corporate and government systems, or impersonate employees or impersonate other people. Over time, they can even establish a credible digital footprint that tricks automated systems and human gatekeepers alike. And this is a real problem when you look at identity theft as just an overall societal problem and how much it happens and how widely it is spread. But when you add in all these different database companies and all the various major hacks over the last couple years, what happens is there's a pool of information about all of us. Now, artificial intelligence is being used to create and manage these synthetic identities that instead of trying to open up a credit card or a bank account once a month or maybe try to buy something like a human might do, this might try to do something 100 times a day or 1,000 times a day until they're successful and do this to 10 million people at once. So it's a real, it changes the whole nature of identity theft, it changes the whole nature of fraud, it changes the nature of protecting your identity, and also what can we all do against these types of synthetic attacks. I'll be getting into that later on. But this is not science fiction. It is happening. It is right now. Hacked data is the raw material for synthetic identities. So if you think about it, where does the data come from to build these fake people, these fake profiles? It's coming from you. It's coming from your car. It's coming from your company, from your health insurance company, from your bank, and from every data breach that's ever happened. Think about it. Criminals don't need everything about you from one breach. They can piece it together like a digital puzzle from multiple breaches. One database has your email. Another one has your medical history. Another one has your phone number and your password or passwords. Or worse, there's a file on your computer with all of your passwords that you saved into the cloud. And suddenly, boom, they have got enough information to build a fake you or fake customer or fake employee or fake business partner or fake government official issuing some sort of decree. At DigiJax, we track this behavior constantly. We see how this type of breach data is aggregated and turned into tools of deception. Now, the people doing the bad things are both hostile nation states, as well as hacking crews that are often affiliated with organized crime, and then also as well as there are individual situations where high-profile people or high-profile groups are targeted specifically for this type of identity theft and or identity abuse. So that leads us to the next level of threat. I know. I'm not trying to scare you. Actually, this is reality. So if I was trying to scare you, I'd be yelling at the top of my lungs and trying to, you know, throw a bunch of facts. But if you listen carefully to what's going on here, we're at a societal change. I spoke about this kind of societal change in my opening episode of this podcast. But instead of it being from analog to digital, we're going from one type of digital to the next. And the next type of digital is quantum computing. Now, quantum computing, again, is not science fiction. It is something that, while it is esoteric and only a few governments and few universities and corporations at this point have them, it is something that is coming and very soon to be a major threat to all of us. And synthetic identity use and synthetic identity exfiltration will be a big part of how quantum computing succeeds and helps criminals. So here's where things get even more concerning. Quantum computing is going to blow the lid off of what is possible with not only synthetic identity theft, but also all types of social engineering and cybersecurity. We're talking about machines that can process complex algorithms millions of times faster than today's fastest supercomputers. What does that mean for attackers? What does that mean for hostile nations that are looking to make America suffer or to make our economy go down the tubes? What does this mean for the defenders who are trying to figure this all out? So, but for the attackers, it means that they'll be able to crack encryption we currently depend on. They'll be able to merge data sets faster together. This will create synthetic identities in real time, automate the phishing campaigns, and impersonate real people with hyper-personalized precision based off of facts about those people gathered through previous hacks, and also how quantum computers and artificial intelligence combined together will basically make it so that there will be very little about any of us that's not known. And so bad guys and bad women can use these tools against us very effectively, and quantum computers will just make it so that the synthetic identity becomes more and more perfect. By cracking the encryption that we currently depend on, that means that everything that we use, encryption underpins your phone. It underpins your ability to use GPS in your car. It underpins your ability to send messages securely on WhatsApp or Signal or an email on Facebook or Instagram. It allows you to do banking transactions safely and securely or use health insurance. And quantum computing will basically break all known current encryption systems almost immediately. Not only that, it gives the attackers the ability to go back in time and take previously hacked materials that was exfiltrated in previous hacks, but has been sitting around in a cloud somewhere that's because it's still encrypted and nobody could read it. So now the bad guys can actually go after us currently in real time and in the future, but also go backwards in time and see what we were talking about then too. So now they'll have the ability to basically by merging these data sets together, they're bringing a tremendous leverage of strength to the attackers. Hostile nations, criminal networks, they are going to use this tech to scale deception against people, businesses, stock exchanges, governments. Deception like never before. What used to take hours or days to try to convince people will take seconds. We are entering an era where quantum-powered social engineering attacks will actually feel human. They will look human, and they will manipulate humans flawlessly. That's bad. That is not a good thing. We're already at a point where humans can fake humans pretty well. But when you start having computers doing it synthetically and automatically, it creates a whole new paradigm for the whole world, and I don't think that anyone really has the answer for it right now. Let's talk about the human side, the social engineering feedback loop, as I call it. The social engineering feedback loop is the art of tricking people into giving up sensitive information or access. Now, this is something like me pretending to be your friend, to become your friend on Facebook, to gain access to their friends. Or alternatively, a criminal pretending to be me trying to contact my bank, using enough information to try to convince the person on the customer service line to change my passcode or send me a new card to a different address or things like that. They can basically, I'm going to mimic something now, so forgive me because I'm probably not the best voice at this, but if you combine all that synthetic identities with the hacked personal data, here's what it's going to go like. Attackers can say something like, "Hey, this is Karen from finance. Here's our project file from last week." But actually, that's not Karen. It's actually, you know, someone in a foreign country. But they say that because you are already on their list. You think you've gotten this message now inside your business. "Oh, yeah, of course, sure, let me send it to you." But you're actually sending something to someone outside of your network. Or alternatively, the other example is through business. "Hi, this is your vendor, and here's the invoice we've discussed, and we're waiting for the CEO signed off on it. We're waiting for payment." They send you this at 4:15 on a Friday afternoon to the CFO of the company. Everyone thinks everything's good, and wires the money, but on Monday morning comes along and you realize that actually they had stolen the template that your bank had used or that you had used with your bank for wire transfers, and actually the money went somewhere else. They can even contact family members pretending to be you. Now, this is a known scam. This is happening more and more often now, and it's getting better and better. I call it the grandma scam. You know, basically someone calls up an elderly woman and says, "Hi, this is your grandson, this is your granddaughter, I'm in a lot of trouble, can you please wire some money to get me out of jail, or to keep my car from breaking down, or to keep me from falling off of a cliff," or whatever it is. Unfortunately, if the voice sounds enough like the actual granddaughter or the actual grandson, then what will happen is, often, the elderly person will actually send that money, and then realize that they got scammed. Now, in our family, we actually have an oral, like a verbal family password that only our family would know. So if anyone ever tries to do something like that, the elderly people in my family, my parents, are able to shut them down immediately by asking them, "Well, gee, what's your password?" However, most families don't do that. Most businesses don't do that. And social engineering, the social engineering feedback loop is extremely dangerous. You know, there's a lot of studies now talking about how social engineering is often the initial point of contact for almost any cybersecurity intrusion. The studies have shown roughly between 50 and 60% of all cybersecurity attacks start with some sort of social engineering trick, phishing, manipulation of a person, or manipulation of a person's belief that they're working with someone that they already know. So when this happens, and it continues to happen, the social engineering aspect does create a feedback loop. The more it works, the more data they steal, the more believable the next wave of attacks become, and the harder it becomes for the defenders to recognize that they are actually being manipulated or socially engineered psychologically. This is something that is true with individual people, as well as enterprise organizations that have security teams and security groups, and social engineering works because it's getting in your brain. It's getting in your head. It's not necessarily about the technology being so smart that they're outwitting your technology. However, social engineering is a main reason why I believe it's time to stop relying on outdated defenses and to start really thinking about what we're dealing with as an organic situation. It's not a one-off thing, and nor is it something that company A can do exactly the same thing that company B does and company C does, and then all of them are safe, because everyone has their own environments and own types of computing and services. And this is true at home as well. We all have different types of Wi-Fi. We have different types of setups. Someone like me, you know, I've locked down my Wi-Fi. I've made it extremely hard for anyone to figure out what's going on with it or use it. But a lot of people haven't done that and are simply relying on the default password that was sent to them with their router. And that's very easy to find and manipulate. And people would be shocked if they understood how easy it would be to use their home computing environment to take over their lives. So our next segment is why passwordless tech and post-quantum encryption matter now. Now, I talked about quantum computers, but post-quantum encryption is encryption that is specifically designed to be used and deployed by quantum computers to also beat other quantum computers. So I'm going to say something. It's going to probably shock some people. Other people are going to laugh hysterically. So ready? Passwords are done. Let me just repeat that. Passwords are done. They have been weak for years. It doesn't matter how long and complex your password is, because there are crackers that work to break those passwords while you're asleep, while you're eating, while you're driving your car. Now, with AI and soon to come quantum attacks, the passwords are even more of a liability. Passwordless authentication using biometrics, device-based keys, behavioral verification, this is the future. It is more secure, it's more user-friendly, and synthetic identities struggle to mimic these types of unique markers. However, that's not enough. We also need post-quantum encryption. So you need a combination of passwordless tools and post-quantum encryption. Cryptography that can withstand the power of quantum computers. And this means redesigning our entire data security from the ground up. What protects your business today will be worthless in a few years, maybe even sooner. You don't want to be retrofitting your security when it's too late and you're trying to fight and put out a fire. You need to be building it now, looking at what's coming for this quantum-powered future, because it's here, and it may not be obvious, but it is here. So what does this mean for enterprises right now? Like for large businesses and companies? So let's bring it home. What does it mean for your business? Well, how do you deploy these tools? How do you explain this to your team? What does this mean for your bottom line? What does it mean for your security? It means, basically, your customer records, your employee systems, vendor portals are all at risk. It means synthetic identities can slip through onboarding, get paid, disappear. It means email compromise, financial fraud, ransomware. These things are evolving into automated, intelligent, scalable threats that are sometimes being launched from inside the enterprise. Sometimes they are being launched from trusted partners, or they are using a trusted partner SaaS link as a way to connect. What can organizations and enterprises do? Well, one, move to a passwordless system as fast as possible. Start integrating post-quantum encryption standards now. Monitor for synthetic activity across your network. So don't just look for people trying to insert themselves in, but look for these fake people and try to and teach your security teams the differences and actually how to tell. Sometimes this is about using behavior-based security models, and sometimes it's about using other types of AI that are looking for anomalies. More importantly, the education for employees about these threats has to be not just a once a year sort of, hey, here's our 2-hour thing you have to attend in order to get your bonus day off of the year or something. It really has to be, in my opinion, there should be something short every month and maybe once every 3 months as a way to really keep people fresh and understand how dangerous all these situations are. When you talk about quantum computing and post-quantum encryption, what we're really talking about is all the things that we've thought have been mostly safe, our financial records, insurance records, home records, medical records, our lives, our interactions with our friends and lovers and family, where you thought it was safe and private. Now, when quantum computers and post-quantum encryption comes along and attacks are used off of these tools, suddenly the sense of privacy that you may have felt you had will disappear. So you definitely need to start planning for that now. It's coming. I can't say it's going to come tomorrow or next month, but it's not going to be 10 years. It's going to be in the next few years. We're going to see a dramatic, dramatic change in how our society has to deal with cyber attacks because of quantum computing. At DigiJax Group, we help companies adapt to this exact type of reality with cyber monitoring, breach detection, digital forensics, secure by design frameworks, built for what's coming next. But this isn't an ad for DigiJack's group. This is about you. This is about how are you and your business going to stay safe in this synthetic world that we live in, that's a, an online digital synthetic world. So just some final thoughts, maybe a call to action here. The convergence of synthetic identities, hacked data, and quantum computing is not a future problem. It is a right now problem. And only those who adapt will survive it. Thanks for listening to this episode of Cyber AI. I'm Alan Sulberberg, the CEO of DigiJax. If you're concerned about how synthetic identities or emerging tech threats might impact your organization, please visit digijax.com. We have got real solutions for real threats. Don't forget to subscribe, share, and follow us on Spotify. We will be also coming out on other podcast hubs pretty soon. So as we put out more shows, we'll be popping up on more and more outlets, including Apple and YouTube and a bunch of others. Thank you for joining. If you have any questions, you can always reach me through the DigiJax website or at LinkedIn. LinkedIn, my name is Alan W. Silberberg. So it's linkedin.com/in/AlanWSilberberg. Until then, stay aware, stay secure, and stay safe.
Is hum. Cyber AI, where the techies come. Alan Silberberg with the beaten drum. Diving deep where the future's from. Stay plugged into the cyber sky. Alan Silberberg keeps the answers nigh. Cyber AI, where the sparks will fly. Until next time we amplify. Until next time we up.